All right, you would be, would turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, 17th chapter, verse 1. We would like to talk to you a little bit and read some scriptures concerning offenses. And in this and in other places there, we see the terrible results of offenses. And so this morning, I hope that it will be a blessing and a good thought that we can remember. So in verse 1 of chapter 17, and it says here that Jesus teaches forgiveness. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. So we see this morning, as we start reading, that there is an evil end to those that offend Christians. He speaks in this some of the scriptures that we're going to talk to about the little ones in verse 2 there. And we see that the little ones in some of the places are those that are saved. In other places, there is the ones that are being that are too young for this, and so for salvation. But people don't understand what offenses, the meaning of it, and what it carries. But it carries the meaning of woe, and this meaning woe means to terrorize, it means to chastise, and all of these things. And woe is a terrible word when you get to looking at it. So he said here that they will come, these offenses, but woe unto him to whom they come. And we this morning sometimes wonder about when we have these offenses and people try to cut us down or whatever. We wonder why that the Lord permits this. Well, one thing that it will help you in is to have patience. And it will help you to be a greater witness. Because when one comes to you and he wants to grumble about what you're doing or grumble about this or try to stir you into a false religion or something like that, you have the privilege then of witnessing to him, and this is pleasing to the Lord, and this is sometimes why that we have this problem, because that there's people right around us that they think they're saved, but they're not. And we see some of them that are bearing a fruit, but it's not the fruit that God would have them to bear. And so we need to be very particular about how that we, if someone does these things to us, what our actions is, because the Christian action attitude is that Christ died for us when we were offending him and his word, and so we should be able to act in the same way, Christ-like, and try to encourage these people, because, you know, Jesus spoke about one time slapping in the face and turn the other side. So when we have this opportunity, we need to think, well, I was there once, and who knows, you know, this little tongue, as James says, it's on hell fire. It's a hell of fire, and it puts out stuff that sometimes we can't control. Before we can control it, it's done got it out there. And so it's sort of like, and I heard this example of something that you say, it's like toothpaste. Once it's squirted out, you can't get it back into the tube without making a mess. And so, you know, that's what we need to very, very carefully be careful about is offending those that offend us. So he said here, in verse 2, talking about the condition of this man that offends these little children, he says, it were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. And the stone that he's talking about, I was looking this millstone up, and I know the millstone that he's talking about, but I've never seen the one that's in the Bible. It's called I believe it's an ass stone. And I don't know what they did with it, where they put it around the mule's neck to keep him from running off or what. But the millstone I know of is two big grinding rocks, two big rocks, and they match, they come together, and the corn and the wheat goes through that, and it makes meal and it makes flour. And so he's saying here this morning, it's better than to have this happen to you. So he said, it's were better for him that a millstone hung about his neck and he cast into the sea, and then that he should offend one of these little ones. Now take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Now, there is a way to rebuke, and there is an ugly way to rebuke. And we could be just like him and return the thing and say, you so-and-so. But no, that's not the way that the Lord's talking for us to do.
Right.
But we should this morning with a loving heart talk to the person and ask, well, if I offended you, then I ask you to forgive me. But, you know, a lot of times we haven't offended them, so, and gives us, like I said, vulnerable, and gives us the opportunity to be a witness to those people. And so he said here he said, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And so this is something that we can really work on this morning, is one that accuses us of trespassing against them. If they repent, if they say, well, I'm sorry, and if we go about it in such a way that we don't really act like a devil or something, but just smile and say, you know, like Jesus did to the ones that was on the cross beside of him,
right.
And when they were lambasting and talking to him, but one of them repented. And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in heaven. And so this is the attitude that we need to have when we are caught up in something like this. We need to come right back at them with something that is nice and mild. Because, you know, I've heard the old adage, you can catch more flies with honey than you can vinegar.
Mm.
And so if you can be nice and you can be polite, because it don't take a bit more. Only thing is, you just got to bite your tongue sometimes. But you can be nice and be kind about this, and you can gain a whole lot more than you can lose. And so he said here in verse 4, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turns against thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, I want you to see something here, if I can find it. Just when I wrote it down, I wanted to tell you this, and I'm sure that you know it, but in one of the scriptures, I thought I wrote it down, but anyway, one of the scriptures, he said, Peter asked him, he said, do I forgive him 7 times? And Jesus said unto him, 70 times 7. And so this, by the time you get through forgiving him that many times in a day, the day's over. And so you can start another day, the next day, and start. If he asks you forgiveness, and he says here, hey, you haven't got one thing to do, and that's forgive him. And that's the same way with us, with our salvation. Listen, if the Lord spoke to our hearts, and we asked for forgiveness for our sins, listen, he'll forgive those sins. And you know, a lot of times we don't get by with 7 times in a day. A lot of times it takes a whole lot more than that to get through the day. And so every time that we do this, we need to ask forgiveness. And he's able and just to forgive us of these. So here in verse 5, and the apostle said unto him, unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if he had faith of a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the roots, be thou planted in the seed, and it should obey you. And notice here what he compares them to is a mustard seed, which is a very small thing. But anyway, I want you to turn with me, if you would, now, and I'm going to read just a little bit in Matthew 26. I should have done this, but I want to read something in Matthew 26 and verse 24. The Son of Man, and this is Jesus talking about Judas Iscariot, and in verse 23, he's talking about where he dipped in the sock. And in verse 23, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man, in verse 24, goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Now, I got to thinking about this. Good if he'd never been born. Can you imagine? Can you imagine not being born? There's nothing there. And he's saying this morning, and this is how dangerous this thing is of offending. He says here, is the Son of Man goeth as it is written, and Judas had sold Jesus out for 30 shekels or 30 pieces of silver. And he said to him, it's better, or it's good. It's not better, but it's good if a man is not born. And so there's a terrible thing in that that I can't even really grasp, because that's worse than evidently that's worse than some of the other woes that we see. Or of course he says, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. Now, Judas knew that he was the one that he was talking about. He knew it. And he was blinded so by the devil that he didn't do anything about it. Of course, he was foreordained to do this, but still, in our case, we are not in that category. But listen, we need to think upon this, because that woe of offenses is awful. And here, if you look at this word woe, and you look in the book of Revelations, it's a whole chapter of what the word woe carries. And so it's everything in this world, because that's what's going to happen to this world, and then it's going to be destroyed. But anyway, back in our lesson this morning, we want to look at this in Revelation 8, in verse 13. I got something I want you to read. I want you to read here. 8 and verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the world, or the earth, by reason of other voices, of the trumpet, and of three angels which are yet to sound. And so he goes on, John goes on and tells about some of these things, and you can read, you can study it if you want to, or read it. But in chapter 9, he tells about these three angels and what they say is going to happen. And over in, I believe it is, Revelation 12:12, I think it is, in verse 12 of Revelation 12:12. He says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And so that woe is for those that are staying back here after the rapture And they are going to serve the devil, and they're going to have all of these woes. And he says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so this morning, these offenses are on their way, and they're probably already here, and they've just not got really going good, but I see all of the things that's happening with our government and the laws that they're making and all this. Listen, it's opening up the way for these offenses to come and these woes to come, and they're getting us ready for the Antichrist to make his appearance. Now, we will be gone when he gets here, but the thing of it is, we have suffered through these things that are going on in our lives. So he says here in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman Israel, which brought forth a man child, and to a woman were given two wings of the eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time, half a time, from the face of the serpent. And these are talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, talking about Israel as they try to escape the Antichrist. But the thing of it is, these woes bring misery and discomfort and everything in this world on us. And so, if you would now turn back into chapter 17, and I'll continue reading here. In verse 7, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go sit down to me, and I will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and girth thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. That he thank his servant because he did the things that were commanded him, I trod not, or I thank not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And I've read this for this right here, this, we are unprofitable servants. And this morning should tell us and show us where we're at as unprofitable servants, because so many times we fail the Lord. So many times there is a time that he would send woes upon us and do the things that these woes call for. But Jesus Christ, our Savior, is right there by his side, and he is presenting his blood to the Lord Jesus, to God, and trying to get us to confess our sins and to get forgiveness. Because listen, he's our go between him and God. And so these things that I'm talking about here, we need to not do them. It's Matthew's Gospel in 18:1. Let me read this for you, and maybe get a little something out of this. Matthew 18:1. Here we see him calling the little children, and at that time, in verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you are converted. Now, here, I don't think that he's talking to a saved person. I think it's just a little child. But notice, he says, this is the condition that you have to be in, except you be converted and become as little children, so ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now notice, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, and he's using this little child as an example. This is the way that we need to be before our enemies and before those that are oppressing us and us. We need to have the humbleness in our hearts that we can talk to them. But he says here, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And so we see here that we have to have a humble heart in order to get along with this world. And we have to be like a little child, and they are humble because they don't know any difference because they haven't ever been into something like that because they're too young. But now he said here, but whosoever, in verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, like it's talking about the same, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And so again, we see this bowl, and we see that Jesus talking to them is putting a serious thing onto them. But 7 says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offense comes, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. So, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Now, I've read some of this, and the writer says here, in this offense of the hand and the foot, he says that the hand and the foot cannot offend because it comes with inside. But he said anyway, he's using this thing as an example. He's warning us to hear it, and he's wanting us to quit doing the offending. But he says here, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halted or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And so it's a warning, and it's like these other woes and the things. Listen, there is a time coming when we're going to stand before God, and we're going to have to give an answer for all of these things that we're doing, and we're going to lose rewards. And like it is with these offenses, we can gain rewards, because if we keep our cool and try to be a blessing to that person that is disgracing us and try to help him, listen, if he don't listen, we receive the reward. We'll get a reward for that, because we are being more Christ-like than if we would stand up and cuss back at him or hit him or bang on him or whatever. We are Christians. We're acting Christ-like. And so he said here, now, going on with the thing, he says, and if thine eyes offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, and here's the saying, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So you know, you have it's a thing that we as God's people need to take notice of and to be mindful of the things that we have the opportunity to do. And so I think I wanted to, in Matthew 19, one more question, and I'll hang up. Matthew 19, 13. I'll read this to you. In verse 13 of Matthew 19, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hand on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer or allow little children, and forbid them not, to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And so again, we have to be very careful of what we're doing, because listen, sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on in another person's heart. And listen, we don't know how to deal with it. And so the way to deal with it and be safe is to use your senses and be Christ-like as best you can. And I think that it would be much easier for you than to face all of those woes that are coming upon those that are disobedient to the Lord and to these two people. So this is our lesson this morning. We hope that something has been said that will help you in some way. And I know the Word, if you listen to it, it will help you. And so study, and realize what kind of surrounding you have. Because you've got a surrounding of people that wants to offend you. But also, you've got a surrounding that gives you an opportunity to be a witness and to gain rewards. And you can load your truck up. But if you do it the other way and offend them again, listen, you're losing your reward. And so this is the thing about offending. So that's our lesson. Thank you all for listening.